At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Good evening and welcome back inside the Quicken Loans studios right here at Yahoo Sports Radio. It is so good to be back in the saddle after a week off of vacation, always ready to talk some NBA and some of the hot storylines that we're keeping our eye on with the upcoming season. We've got you covered. There's been a ton of draft picks, the trades, the signings that we're going to recap with our next guest, and that is sports author, CNN World Sports contributor, Motez Bashara, a good friend of the show. Hello, Motez. How are you on this weekend?
Hi, I'm doing great. Thanks, Alyssa.
Okay, we got a lot of ground to cover, so let's zero in on the NBA landscape. A ton of change has already taken place, and who knew that in the offseason there would be so much drama? I mean, the stunning twist with DeAndre Jordan, and both of us, we've had plenty of time to kind of soak in what transpired and digest it all. What's your overall perspective of this crazy offseason? And let's start with Dallas.
He didn't do them any favors, did he? I don't have too much of a problem with DeAndre going back on his word, simply because professional sports is pretty cutthroat and it's pretty ruthless, and teams have turned around on players many times. They've cut players unceremoniously, probably more in the NFL than in basketball, where contracts are guaranteed. But honestly, you know, the rules are in place in the NBA where there's kind of a freeze out. I think it's 8 days, if I'm not mistaken, where a player has time to decide, and you're not allowed to sign a player during those times. It's only verbal agreements that are taking place. So really, I don't know, it's a bit like if you're shopping for a car, I suppose, and you committed to buying it, but you haven't signed anything, and then you have a drastic change of mind. I can't really blame someone if they've, if they've got a lot of financial, their situation is at stake financially to a very high degree, and they decide they want to change their mind. Maybe something didn't suit their lifestyle or whatnot. I don't think he was leveraging Dallas against his former team. I honestly think he decided he didn't want to stay there anymore and just had a change of heart.
Hey, Motez Bashara is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. Well-known sports author, CNN World contributor. And, of course, remember, you can listen to the show on the go. Hey, just download your Yahoo Sports Radio app by searching Yahoo Sports Radio in your app store. You can listen on any computer or smart device by going to streamysr.com. That's streamysr.com. Well, right now we're zeroing in on the Dallas Mavericks. Obviously, a very disappointing offseason. But I think their biggest asset, Motez, is their head coach in Rick Carlisle. I mean, he's been strong and steady, and who knows, perhaps he can revive the career and bring back those glory days of his new point guard in Deron Williams.
Oh, well, I'm a default Nets fan, and I'm kind of happy that Deron is no longer in New Jersey. My honest opinion is I'm not so sure he's got a hell of a lot left in the tank anymore. I actually like Devin Harris, who is still with the Mavs, and I think he might more minutes than the team expects right now. I have the roster list right in front of me, and it's just loaded with a lot of, let's call them veterans. You can also call them old guys who have seen a lot of miles. And I think Dirk is probably hungry for another title run. And, you know, I just don't see it happening with this current roster. They're going to have to really shake things up a little bit.
Okay, so maybe they're not going to be in the hunt for another world championship, but what do you think, Motez, that the Mavs will be able to accomplish in the 2015-2016 season with some of the players that they have been able to bring on board? I mean, my goodness, Samuel Dalembert, he's back in Dallas.
He's a nice defensive presence. I'm not sure he brings a lot to the table offensively. I see them just because they're a tight-knit organization, and as you said, they have very good coaching, and they do have Dirk and a few other guys in place, Chandler Parsons. I see them challenging for the eighth spot a lot like they did last year, and, if I'm honest, I probably see them as a lottery team.
Okay, my man, Motez Bashar is joining us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I always love to hear from you where we can start early right here on the Big E Sports Show. Join us at Twitter at eRadioSports. You can email the show at Elissa@YahooSportsRadio.com. Well, Motez, since we're out in the West, the conference just continues to get stronger. When you look at what the Spurs were able to accomplish in the offseason, are they your clear title favorite?
Clear title favorite? No, I don't think so. I would probably say Golden State is still the title favorite, simply because they've won one now. They're keeping everybody in place. They haven't had any defections. Steve Kerr now has a full year under his belt. It's hilarious to say this because he's already won a championship.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many coaches in the league who have been coaching for years and years and years who haven't sniffed a championship. Former coach Don Nelson comes to mind when I think of that. I think they look good, and they're probably the solid number one. The Spurs have had some great moves. Obviously, LaMarcus Aldridge, it was a big surprise, I think, to many that they landed him.
Mm-hmm.
And they are like Dallas, but with more talent, I guess, because the coaching is in place, but also they've got more key figures. I heard the figure that Ginobili just turned 38, and their core three are getting pretty old, and their minutes have to start getting reduced now. Maybe Tony Parker can still play 30 minutes a game. I think the captain and Ginobili and Duncan, I think they're going to have to see their minutes shrink to the 20s, at least until the playoffs. So I see them competing, but I don't see them as the number one. I also see the Grizz as competing for one of the top few spots also.
And I know we're going to talk about the Memphis Grizzlies here in just a moment, but gosh, when you look and zero in on the San Antonio Spurs, I mean, you mentioned LaMarcus Aldridge. Obviously, they landed the biggest free agent of the summer in him, but the fact that they re-signed Kawhi Leonard to a max deal for 5 years, that obviously is huge. I mean, do you see any weakness at all within the Spurs where they could perhaps be vulnerable?
No, there is nothing obvious. I think in the perimeter, defensively, they just might struggle a little bit. Aside from Kawhi and Danny Green, I think Tony Parker has had a lot of miles. He's had some niggling injuries in the past. I don't think his knees are 100%. And I think Patty Mills also has had some injuries and hasn't been himself, and he's not a defensive stalwart. So that's really, you know, that's the only thing that jumps to mind is maybe, you know, covering some of the guys from Golden State might be a little bit challenging, although they do have the personnel in Kawhi and Danny. But, you know, nothing really does jump out at me. And now with LaMarcus, they have another stud down low who can take the brunt of the scoring load off Duncan and some of the other guys.
Visiting with Motez Bashara, sports author, CNN World Sports contributor, and right now we are up against the clock. We're going to take a quick timeout. We'll be rejoined with much more NBA talk coming your way right here at YSR. Always got you covered right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell as we continue to guide you through the fastest 2 hours in radio, going one-on-one, talking some NBA with our guy, Motez Bashara, sports author, CNN World Sports contributor. Motez, reach out to our audience across the nation where they can check out some of your work online.
Thanks a lot. So on my blog, The Frugal Fan, I post a lot of the articles I write and some other musings of mine from the world of sports. Also, you can check me out on Twitter, at The Frugal Fan.
Okay, so in our first segment, we hit on the Dallas Mavericks. We talked about the San Antonio Spurs, but right here in our backyard in Houston, we've got the Rockets. The big trade that goes down, they trade for Ty Lawson, and now they've got that extra shooter. You look at James Harden, Patrick Beverley. You've got to be really excited about their backcourt and what they're going to be able to do.
I'm excited, but, you know, the Rockets, I don't know what it is. They always have a way of disappointing in the end. And I'd love to see Dwight Howard play a little bit more of a role on that team. I don't know what's going on there, but he seems to be a little bit. It's hard to believe, but he is a little bit the forgotten man at the moment. And Dwight Howard is no slouch. He's probably, you know, the number one or number two center in the league still, but the league stylistically has moved away from dominant big men.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also, like a few other guys, including the aforementioned DeAndre Jordan, is now a liability on the free throw line during the playoffs. So his crunch time minutes are cut. A completely different topic. I'd like to see that rule changed, by the way, because I think it's very ugly for the game. But, you know, back to the issue at hand with Houston. I still think they haven't proven anything. They look pretty weak in the playoffs against against Golden State. And I'd like to see the balance of scoring distributed a little bit better on that team.
You know, speaking of balance, what is your view of the Western Conference? It continues to be so intimidating, and it's going to be a dogfight. I mean, it's going to be very interesting to see how things play out, because several of those top-tier teams, they just seem to get better in the offseason. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the West has been strong for a very long time, but the balance keeps shifting towards the West. We mentioned the Grizzlies a little bit. They were so close to beating Golden State. They had them on the ropes. Tony Allen got hurt, and I think that destroyed their chances. But also Mike Conley suffered a pretty bad blow himself. Still came back to play courageously, but it wasn't enough. I think they are the one team I can see that defensively can challenge Golden State step mm-hmm. for step, and offensively can also do some damage as well. They got Matt Barnes from the Clippers, who played pretty well in the playoffs last year. He played great against San Antonio. He folded a little bit against Golden State, but it'd be nice to see how they can do when they're completely healthy in the playoffs.
Well, and of course they got Gasol back, and I think signing the addition of Brandon Wright, I think that's going to be huge too, Motez.
I think so. He can give them some solid minutes as in the forward spot. And they're a pretty solid bunch. They always kind of seem to go pretty far in the playoffs, and then something happens to them. But they're not they don't have a lot of glamour, that team or that city. It's I think it's been described as like a lunch bucket kind of city, and mm-hmm. and that's kind of how the team plays. And I'm interested to see how they do this year.
You know, before we head out to the Eastern Conference, give me a quick hit on your view of the Oklahoma City Thunder. I mean, gosh, if KD, he gets back 100%, they got Russell, they got Serge, and it seems like they've been very strategic and made some savvy moves in the offseason, and of course, retaining Enes Kanter.
It's amazing. A lot of the prognosticators thought that that it's just only a matter of time before KD and Russell, jump ship and go to someplace glamorous, like maybe the Lakers or the Heat. But they seem to still want to play together. Going into the beginning of last season, they looked like one of the favorites until the injuries happened. Obviously, Russell Westbrook played out of his mind towards the end. He was scoring 40 points a game. He was getting triple-doubles he was doing it for a hobby. But I'd like to see him play in more of a team atmosphere now that he's got Durant back. And, they're almost a forgotten team now. I think they are probably not a favorite. I don't see them making the finals, but I see them perhaps making the conference finals and, doing some damage along the way.
We are quickly running out of time. Motez Bashara, sports author, CNN World Sports contributor. Hey, he is a regular guest right here at YSR, the Big E Sports Show. Always enjoy catching up with him. But let's talk about the Eastern Conference. Now, I want to get your thoughts on the New York Knicks, because let's remind our audience, they're coming off the worst season in franchise history. Grade their offseason and their rebuilding efforts.
I have to say, well, let's start with Porzingis, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
I think, like many people, I hadn't really heard of him until about a day or two before the draft, when there were rumblings that they were actually going to take him. I thought this might be a huge mistake. I had visions of Sean Bradley come back into my mind as a very high pick.
Uh-huh.
He's not Sean Bradley, though.
Right.
I have seen some footage of him in the summer league, and I have to say he looks impressive. He moves really well. He's got a beautiful shooting touch. He does need to bulk up. I would hope that they're not going to bulk him up too much, because he might lose some of his fluidity. But he can play defense. He can certainly play offense. And I'd like to see him, with a year or two under his belt with the Knicks and see what kind of a player he becomes. This is the thing about the Knicks. They are going to be bad, I think, for at least a couple more seasons. But if you're going to be bad, at least be fun to watch. And this kid, I have to say, it is pretty fun watching him and seeing what he can do out there on the court. As a kid who's like 7'2", I think he's only about 18 or 19 years old.
Yeah, he's 19, 7'3", 19.
Played, yeah, he has played professionally in Spain for a few years. So he's got some experience under his belt, unlike a lot of these freshmen coming in who've only played, 15, 20 games in college, and they're getting picked in one of the top spots. Aside from him, I think Phil Jackson has done a pretty poor job so far this offseason. The only guys they've really signed are Robin Lopez and Aaron Aflalo, and those two are not setting the world on fire. They've still got Melo, but they don't really have a whole lot aside from Melo, and he's not the greatest team player in the world. So they still look like really one of the worst teams in the league, I have to say. They've got to shake things up. They still do have cap room.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not quite sure what they've got under their belt, but I'm sure they're planning something.
Well, Knicks fans, they didn't get exactly what they want with the acquisitions, but just quickly, as we're running out of time, Motez, how much of a turnaround can Knicks fans realistically anticipate?
Maybe 10 more games so far. So I think they won 17, maybe. They're going to win sort of in the mid-20s, high 20s. They are not a playoff team. They're nowhere near a playoff team.
Okay, Motez Bashar has been joining us tonight at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. Check out his work. He is a sports author, CNN World Sports contributor, always a regular guest right here at the Big East Sports Show in YSR. Thank you so much, Motez. It's good to hear your voice.
It's always a pleasure. We never have enough time, but it's always great fun.
Much more NBA talk coming your way right here at YSR, the Big East Sports Show. You stay close and join us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. We will be right back with much, much more. Elissa Walker-Campbell, welcome back to Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show, where weekends always start early. Be sure and join us each and every Friday night from 8 to 10 Eastern Time and encore presentations on Saturday and Sunday right here at YSR, where we always deliver the biggest and the best. And right now it is time to focus our attention on some NBA talk and get a comprehensive breakdown on some of the big moves that transpired over this summer. We're going to be visiting with NBA TV's Jared Greenberg. Good evening, Jared. It's good to have you with us on the show for the first time.
Well, thanks so much for having me on.
Well, let's start off tonight's conversation with some of your takeaways from Las Vegas Summer League. I saw you out there, and how about the San Antonio Spurs and Becky Hammon's historic coaching debut? The NBA's first female Summer League head coach, she led her team to the title, and she has certainly proven that the NBA, it is not just a man's world. I mean, basketball is basketball, and Jared, gender doesn't matter, does it?
No, the boys' club is being invaded in a great way, and I think that... We so much in our industry just kind of fall back on the old cliche of the Spurs way. And I think we often have trouble quantifying what exactly that means or putting our finger on what San Antonio does better aside from just win. How do they come up with this formula? And I think this is just another piece to the puzzle of saying, Greg Popovich wants people in the locker room, in the coaches' meetings, in the scouting meetings, to bring a different perspective. And what better than to bring a woman in who can talk about the game from playing at the highest level that she has, from being a point guard, from being somebody who has watched the Spurs from afar, then got a chance to be a volunteer assistant a couple of years ago when she was hurt and couldn't play in the WNBA, to now where she really has a great mind of a coach, and who cares if it's a man or a woman. And I think this is what Becky Hammon's talking about. She appreciates the trail that she is blazing, but at the same time, she understands that if she wasn't qualified for the job, Greg Popovich wouldn't hire her, man, woman, or whatever. And I think that it just goes to show you that this is the evolution of the game. We want different voices. We want new voices. We want to hear a different perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been great to see how the players have responded to Becky and certainly respect her and played hard enough to win a championship out in Vegas.
You bring up a great point because, Jared, I know you spend a lot of time around the executives, the coaches, the players. I mean, what kind of feedback did you get from out there? And just this belief that, as we're talking about, that Coach Pop's belief to hire her and the faith that he has demonstrated.
Well, it's already spreading. Becky wasn't the only woman on a bench out in Vegas. Toronto had Lindsay Harding as an assistant out there in Toronto, and she's kind of taken the year off from the WNBA. Nancy Lieberman was on the staff for Sacramento, and there's some talk that Nancy may very well join George Karl's staff full-time for this upcoming season, which would be a huge deal. And Nancy is one of the greatest to ever play the game. Her credentials, don't need to be mentioned. She's a legend of the game. So why wouldn't you want to have that type of voice around your team? I think that people always like to kind of steal from San Antonio because they are the gold standard of the last 20 years of basketball.
Uh-huh.
But this is just the latest example, and there's nothing wrong with it. I think it's showing that basketball is evolving.
And it is progressing. NBA TV's Jared Greenberg is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio. The Big E Sports Show, I am Elissa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from you. Join us at Twitter at eRadio Sports. And Jared, connect with our audience across the country. Where can they find you online and at Twitter?
Well, at NBA TV Jared is the best way. Love Twitter. It's a great way to interact with the fans. And sometimes I feel like I'm their therapist. So, hey, I don't charge. You can tweet at me and we can talk about anything you want.
Yeah, give you a new nickname, Dr. J, right?
Yeah, right, exactly. No, it's never been used before.
There you go. And just going back here for a moment, when we talk about Becky Hammon, I mean, what is your belief? I mean, do you see her, envisioning her as eventually being an NBA head coach? I mean, she's definitely on the radar, and she's proven her ability to connect and to execute and just the respect that she has from her male players at the highest level.
Yeah, I still think we're a long way from her being a head coach, and it has nothing to do with her being a woman. I just think it's the evolution of a coach, I think there's a misconception on what a summer league head coach is. Each team, every NBA head coach and the front office has a different way they utilize summer league, but very few teams actually have their quote-unquote lead assistant or the guys that serve as the top advisors, as assistants to the head coach of the regular season team on the bench for an NBA summer league. The summer league coaching staff oftentimes are the coaches that you see behind the bench during a regular season game, or are the guys who are doing the scouting or working with the assistant general managers or in the scouting department or in the player personnel department. Summer League is not just for the players to develop, it's for the coaches to develop. And could Becky Hammon be a head coach one day? Sure, absolutely. But I think there were several, actually, coaches that were in similar positions as Becky Hammon. Men who had only been assistant coaches in the NBA for one or two or three years. The Milwaukee Bucks had a similar situation where a guy who came with Jason Kidd from the Brooklyn Nets, who's only been on a bench for a couple of years, and this was his chance to be a head coach and gain his chops and learning how to design a game plan, how to call timeout, how to, execute plays or draw plays in a huddle and know how to use a rotation. So I think it's a great learning ground, not just for the players, for the coaches. We see it with the referees, too. I don't want to get ahead of ourselves. Could Becky Hammon be a head coach? Sure. But I think we could talk about that in conversation with probably another handful of 6, 7, 8, 9 guys that were out in Vegas, Orlando, and Utah coaching their summer league team.
Okay, so Jared, you were out in Las Vegas. What were your top takeaways? I mean, who impressed you the most?
All the big names had a lot of eyes on them. I think Carl Anthony Towns struggled a bit, but I think it's nowhere to the point where we're saying, oh, man, he shouldn't have been the top pick. I think Jahlil Okafor looked really good at times. I think he struggled sometimes with the game, with the speed of the game. D'Angelo Russell struggled a bit. I think the guys who really took advantage of situations were number one, Emmanuel Mudiay, and him playing for Denver and playing as well as he did out in Vegas gave the Nuggets enough confidence to say, okay, we can trade away Ty Lawson, maybe not get back as many assets as Ty Lawson maybe would be valued at if he wasn't having the off-the-court issues. But we feel comfortable that Mudiay, moving forward, can be the future point guard in our organization. They also have Jameer Nelson in there to give him veteran presence. So I think Mudiay looked really good. But then I also think a lot of the second-year guys, who it's their second go-round in Vegas, they have an NBA season under their belt. Doug McDermott, for the second straight year, looked really good out in Vegas.
Right.
He made the first-team All-Vegas League selection for the second straight year. A guy like T.J. Warren looked really special for the Phoenix Suns. There were really a handful of guys that really stood out. And you said, okay, their second year, they're ready now to take a step in the NBA and be an impact player.
NBA TV's Jared Greenberg with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big East Sports Show. And just a moment ago, Jared, you had mentioned the name D'Angelo Russell, and he kind of, in a ways, he got off to a slow start out there in Las Vegas. He disappointed a bit, but then he had a nice bounce back. He got the reprieve of, 21 points in one of those latter games against the Jazz. How do you view his game?
I think he'll be just fine. You know, I was really high before the draft on D'Angelo Russell. I thought he should have been the Lakers selection. I love that they went out and didn't do what many people thought would just be the obvious pick and take the big man in Okafor. You know, I thought their need would be more geared towards the backcourt. You know, D'Angelo Russell had trouble keeping the basketball, turned it over quite a bit.
Yeah.
Some of his passes were not as crisp as, you know, many of us who don't see him on a daily basis because we're focused on the NBA, but we had heard he'd be the best passer in the draft. He didn't look like he'd be a great passer, but I also have learned, and it's hard to do, but you really have to temper your emotions when watching these guys in summer league, because some guys who are great don't turn out to be really good in the NBA, and some guys who struggle turn out to have great seasons in the NBA. So, you know, Vegas and summer league action, it's just to kind of get a feel for it. I think, you know, guys like Russell and even, you know, John Wall years back, even though he had a really good summer league, turned over the ball too a lot, much like Russell. But it's not always just this playing up to the speed of the game, but it's also learning how to tone it back a bit. You know, a guy like John Wall, and Russell may have this issue as well, when they play at 100 miles per hour all the time, the NBA, yeah, it's a fast game, but sometimes you got to bring your game back down to be a bit more under control. And mm-hmm. I think that's probably where D'Angelo Russell will find his 10 days or so in Vegas to be valuable, that it's not always putting you know, a lead foot on the gas pedal. It's learning how to play at the appropriate speed, and I think that's something that will come with time. And I, you know, Jordan Clarkson was so good for the Lakers too that you got to feel really comfortable knowing that if Russell can't immediately ascend into that role of starting point guard, you got Russell, you've got the Jordan Clarkson. You can groom Russell a little bit, and I think if you're being honest with yourself, nobody has really high expectation for the Lakers this year, maybe outside of Laker Nation. But, you know, you're not looking for D'Angelo Russell this year to be the leader of a team that's going to be challenging for, you know, a home court advantage of the playoffs. I think Laker fans would be fortunate if they just are in the conversation for the eighth spot, which I don't see them being in right now.
What are your thoughts on some of the free agents that the Lakers picked up in the offseason? I mean, how would you grade this offseason and what they were able to accomplish?
Well, obviously it wasn't what they wanted to do. They wanted to land a marquee guy, and their target, their priority was LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah, struck out on him.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think what they're going to try and do now is prove that they have drafted and acquired, to a certain extent, young talent that now their hopes within a year or two is that they'll only be missing that star piece. You know, my thought process when the whole conversation was going down with LaMarcus Aldridge was, if you put LaMarcus Aldridge into the 2015-2016 Laker roster, are they even a playoff team, let alone a team that's going to contend for a title in that brutal Western Conference? And my thought was no. I think that they needed so many pieces that for a marquee veteran to want to come to L.A., it's not just about being in the number two market in the country. It's not just about the tradition of Laker basketball. It's about putting yourself in position to win a title. Yeah, you're going to make a lot of money wherever you play, but are you going to be happy on and off the court? And I think for a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge, you know, you look at the Spurs, and he plugs himself into a roster that's now, if not the favorite, the number two pick in the West to win the conference and go to the NBA Finals. With the Lakers, what I think they're really trying to hope for is that Julius Randle, Jordan Clarkson, now D'Angelo Russell, can be the beginning of a core where they now need one, maybe two pieces in a couple of years down the road to be a serious contender. Right now, though, you're a free agent. You're looking at what the Lakers have to offer. You're like, well, what am I going to do that's going to make this team that much better this year?
Well, historically, the Lakers, they've always been able to attract those, you know, star free agents. And it seems like with today's players, Jared, that the tradition, the history, it doesn't seem to be as alluring, that type of past prestige.
Yeah, but with that tradition and history also comes a lot of sometimes unwarranted pressure and expectations. And I think players are understanding of you don't need to be in L.A., New York, or Chicago now to have these big marketing deals, to have these big advertisers paying you a lot of money. You don't need to have be in a top 10 market to get a huge shoe contract. Look at Kevin Durant, the hundreds of millions of dollars he got last summer, and he's playing in the second smallest market in the NBA right now in Oklahoma City. So I just think that there's players seeing value in putting yourself in a position to succeed, to look good. You know, maybe the other side of the argument is, well, they should want to be the trendsetter. They should want to be the guy that goes to a team and helps change the tide of the direction that they're going. But at this point, it's tough. You know, do you want to go to New York and L.A. and be expected to single-handedly turn over a franchise when realistically you look at a roster and you say, besides me, what else is there? And I think that's what makes it tough on these players to want to go to these historically tradition-rich franchises that right now are really depleted of much talent.
We're quickly running out of time. Jared Greenberg has been with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. You can check him out at NBA TV. One more quick hit. Talk to me about, as far as the Lakers and the Knicks, you just mentioned the Knicks. I mean, who had the better offseason?
I think the Lakers did only because they set themselves up to be a better team in terms of attractiveness next summer. I think they're a team that will be able to lure a free agent quicker that can help change the course of the franchise more than the Knicks, who will complement Carmelo Anthony. You know, we don't think Kobe Bryant will be there beyond this year. So I think the Knicks are a team that added some pieces, and they're in the weaker Eastern Conference, so they could probably get better faster this upcoming year. But I think long-term, the Lakers are in much better shape than the Knicks are.
Okay, Jared Greenberg's been with us from NBA TV. We appreciate you joining us tonight right here at YSR. Thank you so much, Jared.
You got it. Anytime. Appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead tonight at YSR. Join us online at Twitter, at eRadio Sports. We will be right back. Back with you in hour number one right here at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm Elissa Walker-Campbell. So far in tonight's show, we've had a ton of NBA talk. We're going to shift gears just a bit. We're going to talk about some NFL. Tom Brady's 4-game suspension. It was upheld by Roger Goodell. So who's going to chime in on this? Don't look now, but my man, Joe George, is back in studio with us. Give me a thumbs up. How are you, Joe?
Doing good. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's good to be back in the saddle after a week off in Pinehurst. I'm sure you missed me, right?
I did miss you, Alyssa.
Okay. Well, Tom Brady, I'm not sure he misses Roger Goodell. Talk to me about, did the NFL, did they get the Brady suspension ruling right?
Yes and no. I say yes in the fact that Tom Brady was so uncooperative. He wasn't willing to give them his phone, and even after, now he says his attorney told him they didn't need it, so then he went and destroyed that cell phone. But technology, you can find those text messages anyways. All you need is an injunction with AT&T or whoever, and they'll give them all to you. So in that sense, yes, but I really feel like he should have been brought down to 2 games. The problem was, it seemed like the NFL wanted him to admit guilt, and they would just give him a fine. That's what the reports are, and he didn't want to do that either. So I think they went hard on him at 4, and I think it's too much. I think 2 games would have been just fine.
You know, so much talk has focused on Tom Brady. Does this permanently damage his legacy? It's a big hit on his reputation. But what about Roger Goodell? That was a pretty bold move to stand his ground and to not back down.
Well, he doesn't make any sense. He suspended Ray Rice for 2 games. Greg Hardy will miss like 17 games in total. He missed 13 games last year, I believe. He's missing 4 this season. So he's missed so many games, and Ray Rice was suspended for 2, and then he was out of the league. Michael Vick came back after the dog fighting incident.
There's been a lot of inconsistencies, hasn't there?
Yeah, it's just very up and down, and I don't think anyone really understands or respects Roger Goodell because they don't know where he's coming from or what's next.
Joe George is with us tonight at Yahoo Sports Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We are zeroing in on this whole Tom Brady debacle. And so, ultimately, do you think that he could prevail in court? Experts say that it is a long shot. What are the chances that Tom Brady could get this thing headed in his direction?
Well, there was a reason why they originally filed the injunction in Minnesota. That's where they believed that they could win the case, and that's where they've done damage against the NFL, the lawyer that Tom Brady hired. In Minnesota, well, that judge in Minnesota redirected the case back to New York. So I don't think they're going to win anything. I think this is over. Basically, and I'm just going off what the legal experts say because I'm not a lawyer, but everyone that says...
You sound like a lawyer, Joe.
Thanks. everyone I've heard talk on any of the sports stations or on TV, they're all saying that there's no shot for Tom Brady to win this case. It may not even get to court.
Okay, so the New England Patriots, I think back to earlier this week, they opened training camp on Wednesday. What's your expectation for the upcoming year? I mean, can they repeat as Super Bowl champs?
I don't think they can, but I didn't have them repeating before this debacle anyways. They lost their two best corners in Brandon Browner and Darrell Revis, and that's really going to hurt them. Now they're going off two young, unproven corners. Yes, one of them was a hero last year in the Super Bowl, but that doesn't mean anything. That was just one play. That doesn't mean you're a good cornerback. That means you took a risk and you came out on top.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think the Patriots are really going to win the Super Bowl regardless, but I think this is great for Jimmy Garoppolo, who's from Eastern Illinois, the backup quarterback. I think he can. This is his chance to prove
that. This is a huge chance.
That if he plays well these next four games, there's a chance Tom Brady, his window might be closing. His contract does expire in the near future. I believe it's next season. It expires. They might be time for them to move on from Tom Brady. He is getting up there in age. He's pretty close to 40.
You know, I want to move around here and hit on some of the other news and notes that have taken place this past week in the NFL. But I have to think, as a player for the Patriots, I mean, the fact that you've got the backing of your owner, Robert Kraft, I mean, truly, we don't know what he believes behind closed doors. But obviously, with that unexpected appearance at the podium and taking aim at the NFL, and he had some very strong words for Commissioner Roger Goodell.
He really did. And I just love that situation because Robert Kraft is
the one.
That he is in charge of the committee that sets Roger Goodell's pay. He's in charge. He leads that committee. I think this could be the end for Roger Goodell. I think a coup could be started by Robert Kraft. There's going to be a line divided in the NFL amongst owners who think that the Patriots are cheaters and they're done with Robert Kraft. And there's going to be a line that's drawn on Robert Kraft's side that are done with Roger Goodell. The Roger Goodell era could be ending a lot sooner than we think. I think it's still, 5, 6, 10 years away, but I think Robert Kraft is going to be pushing him out the door.
Well, owner Robert Kraft, I mean, he did not hold back on his words. I mean, the fact that he made that bombshell statement saying, I was wrong to put my faith in the league, I mean, that certainly says a lot on what his stance is and his belief and confidence in the leadership in Roger Goodell. So, of course, we wanted to invite Joe George on with us tonight, our producer right here at YSR. Thanks so much for stopping by quickly.
Anytime.
Absolutely. Much more straight ahead. In hour number two, you want to stay close. We have got a lot to talk about. The trade deadline for Major League Baseball, it has come and gone, and we have completely got you covered with Andy Pondillo and Michael Emmerich in hour number two. Stay close.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Quick, choose a meal deal with McValue. The $5 McChicken meal deal, the $5 McDouble meal deal, or the new $6 Daily Double meal deal. Each with its own small fries, drink, and four-piece McNuggets.
It's actually no rush. I'm just excited for McDonald's.
For a limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Not valid for McDelivery.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.